It's time now for Ask an Expert. Every weekday at this time, KCBS gives you direct access to top experts in various fields related to the pandemic.
Today, COVID cases are ticking up in the Bay Area, and that could change how and when you mask up. To answer your questions on staying COVID safe at your dinner, the holiday dinner, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. Dean Blumberg, UC Davis Health and Infectious Disease Specialist. If you have a question you'd like answered, please email us at askus@kcbsradio.com. Dr. Blumberg, thanks for joining us to discuss this. Before we get to COVID, I know the cases are ticking up, but we're also having a big problem with the flu these days. In terms of how many you're handling, you know, from percentages, what would you say? It's 50-50 or more?
Yeah, so what we're seeing is a really dramatic increase in the start of the influenza season this year. We're seeing it all over the U.S., but particularly in California, there's very high activity. And I think that's going to be our major concern this winter. COVID cases also are ticking up, but we don't expect this to be as much of a big wave as we saw the last two winters.
There was one interesting stat that was tweeted out today that positive test rates for asymptomatic COVID-19 cases have more than doubled at a UC San Francisco in the past month, hitting a 5%. How is this a troubling thing, or is this just something that we need to pay attention to?
I think it's reflective of the increase in COVID transmission that we're seeing, and we did expect this to occur this winter. With the decrease in temperature and the humidity, it does favor the viral survival, and so it does favor more transmission. And we're seeing the same thing here at UC Davis, is that patients who are admitted to the hospital, many of them are being admitted for other reasons, screened for COVID and found to be positive. We're not having that many admissions for severe COVID in particular.
But in Southern California, they're encouraging people to mask up once again. It hasn't been mandated yet, but where are we in that?
Yeah, I am recommending continuing to mask, and I myself continue to mask in when I'm in crowded places and I'm with around people who are outside of my household. I think it just makes sense. There's enough COVID going around, and even people who are vaccinated may get breakthrough infections. Remember, the vaccine is recommended to prevent severe infections, hospitalization, and death, but breakthrough infections may occur. Plus, there's so much flu and RSV going around. I'd just rather stay healthy.
I'm with you on that one. And we do have anecdotally at least one tech EV company here in San Francisco is now mandating masks in the office. Would you go so far as to mandate masks indoors again?
You know, it's difficult to know if people have the appetite for those mandates, continuing mandates. And now that we do have robust mask availability, including N95s and KN95s, you know, at this point in the pandemic, I think people can take responsibility for their own health and can protect themselves by masking. So I think it can be an individual choice. I, of course, work in the hospital and clinic. So in my work setting, it is required to mask, but I would do it anyway.
Do you still find some resistance to getting the bivalent boosters or getting any boosters at all?
Oh, yeah, there's certainly resistance to that. I mean, at this point, only 13% of the U.S. population has received the bivalent booster. And what's most concerning to me is those 65 years of age and older only have a 33% bivalent vaccination rate. And so they're at most at risk for severe disease and death. We've had almost 40 million doses administered in the U.S., so we've got experience with it. It's not something that's brand new, and we've got data already that shows that it is protecting better against COVID, against the currently circulating strains, which aren't even included in the vaccine. And that's because vaccination with the bivalent formulation does result in a wider, more diverse immune response that will protect against, is likely to protect against future variants.
And as you mentioned, most of the people who are dying are in that older age group. And just this morning, Pfizer and BioNTech have submitted an application to update their COVID-19 vaccine to be used as a third shot in the three-dose primary vaccine series for children ages 6 months through 4 years. Is that something that you would still recommend, even though it seems to be that it's mostly affecting the older people?
Yeah, you know, it does mostly affect people who are 65 years of age and older in terms of severe disease, hospitalizations, and death. But we certainly continue to see significant disease in pediatrics, in children, and in young adults also. So it just makes sense for everybody to be protected. And, of course, we've got a little bit of confusion related to vaccination because we've got all these different formulations. So I think that will be a real advance to change the recommendations, ultimately have them updated to include the bivalent for all the doses. It makes sense.
Dr. Blumberg, we're going to ask you to hold on for a second. We've had a lot of traffic trouble this morning because of the wet roads. Let's get an update now from Kim Warburg.
Yeah, and wet tracks. We were talking about this earlier, Erica. BART had suspended service between 24th and Mission and Daly City because there was a tree on the track. So progress has been made. The tree is off the tracks. Crews have inspected the tracks. And now we are back to BART service performing again between 24th and Daly City, but not without delays. We're about 20 minutes delayed in all directions, according to BART. The delays are pretty massive still at the Bay Bridge, but we are just looking like a bad commute morning at this point. So we've largely recovered on the span from a severe crash that was at Fremont Street. All the hang-up is at the toll plaza. Behind the metering lights, we're still backed up beyond the 580-80 split with the MacArthur Maze. 80 probably the most dramatic because it's heavy from Albany all the way down through Emeryville trying to join the Bay Bridge backup. We are also looking at an accident clearing eastbound 24 at Ocalanes. Four cars have been in the left-hand lane here. And there's still problems in the Central Valley. A traffic advisory has been up for northbound I-5 before El Dorado. That's in French Camp. Right lane's been blocked. Traffic is backed up into Lathrop. Your next update's at 9:38 on the Traffic Leader, KCBS.
Thank you, Kim. We've got some isolated showers, a little breezy depending upon where you are. A wet week ahead with the exception of Wednesday, which should be dry. So keep that umbrella handy because the rain's coming back after Wednesday as well. And we've got at least scattered showers through your weekend and into next week. Traffic and weather together on the 8s on All News 106.9 and AM 740 KCBS. KCBS News Time is 9:30.
This is Ask an Expert. We're talking to Dr. Dean Blumberg, an infectious disease expert. And the one thing we haven't touched on yet, Doctor, is RSV. How is that factoring into what you have to do on a daily basis?
Well, we saw a real dramatic increase in RSV cases in October and a lot of hospital admissions. And thankfully, that appears to have peaked and is starting to decrease. So it was a rapid rise early in the season. But I think we're having a handle on that now, and so we do expect decreased pressure on hospitalizations for RSV, which is fortunate because we got to get ready for the increased hospitalizations due to influenza.
We got a question from a listener. I read that vaccines give you about a 3-month window of safety against getting COVID. Is that true? And a second question, does that mean I should get another booster if I got my last one in September?
Yeah, right now the CDC is only recommending that one bivalent booster for people. They're not recommending the second one yet. You know, I interpret the data as being a little bit more protection than 3 months. I think 4 months is what we've been seeing with the primary series as well as with each booster. So it's not going to protect us for a whole year. So we hope to get through the winter with that booster. And then hopefully COVID then is evolving so that as early as next year, that it's endemic instead of pandemic, and we can hopefully have the yearly influenza shots.
So
I'm sorry, in yearly COVID shots.
Well, I was going to ask about influenza anyway. How long can you count on protection from that vaccine?
Yeah, the influenza vaccine protects for about 5 months, and so that's why vaccination in October really is optimal because that should get you protected through March. And for most years, January through March are the peak months for influenza. So, you know, hopefully it's not a late year when the vaccine-induced immunity might wear off.
Just a personal story. My sister got the flu, and she actually ended up getting pneumonia. So I'm just wondering, aside from masking and getting your shot, is there anything else you can do to avoid this?
You know, you can maintain your general health and nutrition so that your immunity is high. But, you know, other than getting vaccinated and masking, those are your most important things in terms of protection. And then a third thing that you can do is try to avoid people who are sick. And that's just not always feasible.
No, I caught my flu on a flight back from Las Vegas earlier this year. So you're right. You can't always avoid those people. But I always like to, when we're talking about flu, I like to get this reiterated by experts, the flu is a serious thing. we don't just count it out as, I have like a cold. The flu can put you in the hospital.
Yeah, absolutely. Every year, thousands of people die from influenza in the U.S. Even children can die from influenza. In a normal influenza season, about 140 children die every year in the U.S. So it's not just people who are older or who have underlying conditions. I mean, we see severe cases all the time. So, yes, I really highly recommend influenza vaccine. And the good news for this year is that the influenza vaccine appears to be a good match with circulating strains. So we do expect the influenza vaccine to provide some significant protection.
Tamiflu, how soon do you have to take that for it to be effective?
You know, it's best if that's taken within 48 hours of onset of symptoms. If it's given after that, there are no proven benefits. So I do recommend people consider taking Tamiflu. If they do have influenza, call your physician, get tested for influenza early in the illness so that you could be eligible for treatment. And it may decrease the illness by one day. One day might not seem like a lot, but you know, if you're sick with the flu, one day to me makes a difference.
I agree with you on that point. However, haven't the protocols for using Tamiflu changed? I mean, I seem to remember a few years back it was like, well, we don't have enough, so we'd like to ration what we have. And now are supplies large enough that most people can get it if they need it?
Yeah, the supplies do vary, but I think there has been historically an underappreciation of the benefits of treatment. And so people haven't been as enthusiastic about treating with Tamiflu. And that's resulted in people not being able to benefit from treatment also.
Oh, and also about Tamiflu being used prophylactically. I remember a few years ago, my mother had the flu. My dad had underlying conditions, and they actually wrote a script for him to take Tamiflu.
Yeah, it is recommended prophylactically primarily for people who can't get vaccinated and are at increased risk for severe disease. Occasionally, it's used for people who have significant exposure and are vaccinated also, especially in those years where the vaccine doesn't match up very well with circulating strains.
All right, Dr. Dean Blumberg, thank you very much for joining us and sharing your insights.